blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 387, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. To God my earnest voice I raise, to God my voice imploring praise. Before his face my grief I show, and tell my trouble and my woe. 1, 2, and 4 of 387.
scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. Matthew chapter 1, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Jesus, being raised from sleep as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, Thou who did so willingly come up at the request and of the command of Thy dear Father into this sin-cursed world, here to be born and here to be afflicted, here to suffer, here to die, here to be laid in the grave, and here also to receive thy life again. O Lord, thou hast ascended, and we have heard it in these moments from our own confession, and thou dost sit now at the right hand of thy Father, and all things are placed under thy feet. And thou dost there rule, and yet we read in thy word that thou walkest amongst the seven golden candlesticks, that thou walkest in the midst of thy church here below, and that thou holdest the seven stars in thy right hand, and that thou dost send and care for all thy truly sent servants, that thy word may go forth out of thy own mouth, which is as a sharp two-edged sword. O Lord, thou whose countenance does shine as the sun shineth in its strength. O thou who dost care for thy Zion so that it cannot be moved, and while it is yet here upon this world, then there is no enemy, and that is able to come against it and prevail. And Lord, yet thou knowest that thou sayest that I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Lord, thou dost afflict them in order that they might feel their poverty. O Lord, thou knowest where that they are. They have nothing in themselves. Oh, they have no righteousness to appear before thee. Thou takest it all away in their own sight. Oh, they have no strength, and they have no wisdom. Lord, they have nothing. Oh, that thou may remember them. And yet thou sayest, thou art mine, and therefore thou sayest that thou art poor, yet that thou art rich. O Lord, that thou may show something of those riches, may it be also in this afternoon hour, when we are gathered in thy house of prayer, and thou knowest everything that takes place here below, and thou sayest thou art in a special way in the midst of thy church, and when they are gathered two or three in thy name, and then thou art in the midst of them, oh, to work by that Spirit that is as the wind that bloweth where it listeth. And we do hear the sound thereof. Oh, we may see the effects thereof, but we do not know from whence it cometh. We do not know whither it goeth. We do not know when it comes. We do not know when it departs. Oh, we may only beseech thee, Lord, that we might feel the effects of it, that we might be the recipients of the power of it, that thou would shed it abroad now, and when thou art exalted at the right hand of power, oh, to speak, that thy Spirit may go forth, that it might move amongst us, oh, that our hearts may be taken by that Spirit, that they might be quickened, that they might be renewed, not only for the first time, but also by renewal. O Lord, thou givest births, even in a natural way in the midst of us. O wilt thou give births also to our souls, that we might young and old experience what it is to be born again and to enter into that new world, that world wherein thou art the King, wherein thou dost govern all things, wherein thou dost bless thy people with spiritual gifts from heaven, and with peace and rest in their soul. O Lord, that thou mayst supply for us. We are so undeserving of the least of all thy notice or attention. Every day again, we sin it all away, that thou may look upon us in and through him whom thou dost love, and that thou may show to us a favor undeservedly, that thou may look upon all thine. Thou knowest their place, or thou hast given them life, Lord, and thou knowest what life does. Oh, it begins by crying, and thou knowest those that do cry. Thou knowest those that do desire to be held, even to be carried as a little lamb in thy bosom. Oh, that thou would take them up, Lord, and that thou may pour out thy love in their hearts, and that thou may lead them into thy pastures beside thy still waters, and that thou may feed them there with food everlasting. Oh, that the meek in the midst of us might be satisfied, and that thou may instruct also further in all of the ways wherein thou dost lead thy church. Thy way is through the sea, and thy way is in the sanctuary. O Lord, we do not know where that way goes. Or we must only follow that cloud, that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire by day and by night. Oh, that we, it may be given to see it, and that we may be given to follow it, and that we may be given to be fed with the manna that is from above. 40 years in that wilderness, that waste howling wilderness here below. Oh, that there might be by times a desire to go over that Jordan and there to enter into that land that floweth with milk and honey. Oh Lord, that day does come, the day of our death and our judgment. Remember thou those that mourn in the days wherein we are, that thou may bless this and sanctify these ways unto the souls of men, but give what is necessary as we carry our burdens here below, that thou might show thyself to all those that have a true godly sorrow here below. Oh, that they also may be given to know that joy cometh in the morning, and that thou, even as thou didst come here upon this world and show thyself in thy human nature to the great gladness and rejoicing of thy waiting church, oh, that thou mayst show thyself the same unto mourning hearts, and that they might experience what it means for thee to be born in such a stable as they carry about with them each and every day. O Lord, then it is such a wonder that thou dost look upon as such a wretched and a miserable creature as we are. Oh, that thou mayst show it unto us, Lord, how good and how gracious that thou art unto the chiefest of the sinners, then thy great name will receive magnification and glory. Oh, then we shall rejoice at that blessed message of thy gospel. Oh, that thou may look upon us young and old. Bless thy word this day. Bless all thy servants that are sent to bring thy word. Thou knowest the places where they labor, in the established or the mission churches, or that thou may be near unto each one of them. Lord, remember thy servant who is sick. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, that thou may look upon him in thy mercy, and that thou may bless the means that are to be used in the weeks that are now come. Oh, that thou may supply for him, that thou may strengthen him, that thou may give thy blessing upon all the works of men and medicine, and that thou may yet restore him, that he may labor in the midst of our denomination and in the midst of his flock for the good of thy people and for the building up of thy church here below. Lord, remember all that are afflicted and sick. Thou knowest the burdens that are carried, both in heart and in home, in business. Lord, supply thou for all the needs here below, also in this country, in the day of tomorrow. Lord, thou art above it all. Oh, turn us again. Draw us, Lord, as a people and as a nation. Then we shall certainly run after thee. Do supply for our children and our youth and the parents, those that have no children. Care for all in the need of instruction, and those that do instruct also in our own Christian schools here and in Calgary. Lord, be on the right and on the left of all that do that most important and responsible labor. Oh, that thou would be and near also, and grant thy indispensable blessing, but could it be also a little felt nearness and help for those who do a labor which is so often so discouraging. Lord, give them a little courage from above, a little strength from above to continue in their labors, and may it be that thou wouldst one day prove and that it has all redound to the glory and to the honor of thy name, and also to the welfare of poor, never dying souls. Do look upon all in this hour also under thy holy word. And wilt thou keep from all drowsiness, both of body, but also of soul, that thou wouldst awaken us, and that thou may remember those who may have difficulty with the language. Lord, wilt thou give understanding, give one word, be thou in the midst of us, feelingly, believingly, O Lord. Could it be, both in speaking and in hearing, and show thyself in the midst of us undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 392, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, my might, my constant helper in the fight, my shield at my righteousness, my strong high tower, my Savior true, who doth my enemies subdue, my shelter in distress. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 392. Beloved congregation, we have heard how that after the Lord has brought Israel out of Egypt by faith through the sea, that he brought them into the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, he did instruct them for 40 years. So we also can read about Bunyan's pilgrim. Then he is brought by Mount Sinai. There he learns who and what he is and what his relationship is to justice. There he has brought him through that wicked gate. And after he comes through that gate, we read that he is brought into the house of the interpreter. Who is the interpreter, boys and girls? That is the Holy Spirit. And then Bunyan shows how that he is brought into all different rooms. And there he is given different instructions and by that Spirit of the Lord. Well, our fathers in our Heidelberg Catechism do not actually do so very differently, because they have brought us also in the beginning how that we have heard that love of the Lord, what is now that only comfort in life and in death. Ah, does that ever draw you, children? When you may see now the true people of the Lord, you say, now what do they have? And what do I miss? And that love may come in your heart, and drawing may come in your heart after the service of the Lord, then it is not a burden anymore. Ah, then they have shown something of what we are, what our misery is. Then they have brought us to Mount Sinai, and they have shown how the Lord is cutting off his people from all of their expectation outside of that one true Savior. They have shown how that Savior is revealed in the life of God's people, and then they bring us, as it were, into the house of the interpreter. Then they bring us, we read, into those 12 articles. Because what is it that faith must believe, they ask? Well, all things that are promised in the gospel. And then we may come, as it were, just as it were, into different rooms, and we have begun in those rooms. We have heard about faith in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We have heard of the necessity of faith also in the Son of, in God the Father, and in His providence. And now we hear, as they continue, the necessity of faith and the instruction in that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is now for this afternoon's consideration, the beginning of this, which is about faith in Jesus our Savior. First, the significance of this name, Jesus, and second, the true faith in this name, Jesus. Thus, faith in Jesus, our Savior. First, the significance of this name. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 11, question and answer 29. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, a Savior? Because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Thus, the significance of this name, Jesus.
Question and answer 30. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of themselves or anywhere else? That is, through faith. Do such then believe in Him through faith in this name Jesus? They do not, for though they boast of Him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in Him necessary to their salvation. Thus, faith in Jesus our Savior, first, the significance of this name Jesus, and second, true faith in this name Jesus. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is a Savior? How shall we answer that question? Well, then we must go to Him who gave Him that name. And who is it that gave Him that name? That was His Father. Who gave you your name, boys and girls? Say, my Father and my mother gave me my name. Well, when the Lord Jesus was born here in the world, also His Father gave Him His name. Say, well, who is His Father? That is not Joseph, no. Because we read that He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Thus, God is His Father. And God gave Him that name and showed that name to His mother and to Joseph even before that He was born. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. And at the same time, the Father has explained why that He was giving Him this name. And that is because He says, for He will save His people from their sins. Thus we have a very clear answer to this question of our catechism. Why is the Son of God called Jesus? That is a Savior. That is answered directly in the Bible. And therefore our fathers say, because He saveth us and delivereth us from our sins, and likewise because we ought not to seek nor can find salvation in any other. This name Jesus, congregation, is the personal name of the Son of God. That is in contrast to the official name of the Son of God, which is Christ, that we hope to hear of next time, if all is well. However, this personal name of the Son of God, Jesus, is at the same time speaking about His offices. You know that men, we office bearers, they are given an office in this world. But that office does not cleave to our person. And it is possible for a man to have an office and later on not to have an office anymore. That office can be resigned. That office can be lost. That office is laid down also in the death of a person. Not so with the Son of God who is called Jesus. No, that is the personal name that was given to Him by His Father. And in giving this personal name to Him, then the Father has also bound the office to his person. That means that this is a very great comfort for the church of God. Why? Because as long as this person exists, as long as this person endures, so does his office. Thus we have a church that finds a very great and solid comfort simply in that personal name of Jesus. We sometimes give our children a name as a kind of a wish that we hope that they may be like unto this certain person, that is maybe even in the Bible, maybe they are children, a person in the Bible who has a new heart. And maybe then our father or mother say, oh, could my little child have such a new heart as Jacob, for example, or as Abraham, for example. Oh, how sadly disappointing that that is very often when a person bears such a biblical name through this world. And with such a name, then everything that was laying in the hopes of the parents is overturned. But this is not possible with God. Jesus was not given his name except because that he had the substance of his name already. Thus, that name was given to him on the very account of who that he actually is. We know that Joshua has actually the same name as Jesus because that is the Hebrew name. And the Lord has in his providence given that he may be named Joshua as a type of Jesus who was to come. The law of God represented by Moses is not able by human merit to bring us into that promised land. No, Moses had to die on this side the river. And Joshua, who is a type of Jesus, must bring that people into that promised land. But we are not speaking here about the name of a type, but we are speaking today of the name of the antitype of that true Savior himself, because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. Who now, congregation, is us? He saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. That is a question that has been very sorely and very sadly debated through much of the history of the church after the Reformation. That is a question that has also come into the many disputes which have caused so many divisions within the church in its history. But congregation, God himself is very clear about this. What do we read? For he shall save his people from their sins. That is the reason that we read his name was called Jesus. Not because that he was going to save all mankind. Not because he was going to save every person who made himself somewhat religious in this life. No, but because he was going to save those whom God had chosen from that never begun eternity, that he was going to save his elect that he was going to save his own people. And therefore there is nothing so necessary, there is nothing so important as to know whether we ourselves are one of his people. Otherwise we cannot take comfort from this name Jesus, because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins that we desire. Now this blessing, this benefit to be saved from our sins. Congregation, by nature, I can answer that for all of you. I can answer that because we are all born the same, aren't we? Do we then have a desire to be saved from our sins? There is nothing in us by nature that has a desire, a longing to be saved and to be delivered from our sins. We want, sure, to be saved from the consequences of our sins. We want to be saved from our guilt. That's not so easy, is it, young people? Guilt. Carry that with you. Carry that with you through this world. That is just sitting there, right? Then we can go play. We can go work. We try to forget it. Come lay in your bed again. There it is again. And then you get to sleep, finally. And then you wake up in the morning. There it is again. Not so easy, is it? Guilt. So if I could just get rid of that guilt, then what do? We just stamp on it. But what brought that guilt? That was lovely, wasn't it? You say, and it is still lovely, isn't it? You say, that which brought that guilt, that is that sin that my heart did go out after. That is that sin that my heart does go after. Or if I could only get rid of the consequences. But no, my heart that loves that sin, and it desires, if that guilt was not there, then I would wallow in it more than I ever did. Oh no, there is not one of us who have a desire within our heart to be delivered from our sin. We can even come up to the house of God, and we can even have a form of religion. And yes, well, we want to hide it a little bit also from other people, because that name, yeah, I would not like everyone to know that, because I want to be seen a little bit cleaner than actually I truly am. In congregation, this is what our heart desires, but our heart subtly, deeply is still cleaving, isn't it? Is still cleaving. How does Jesus save his people from their sins? What is necessary for that? Well, there is something objective necessary. There is something necessary before God. And you know why that is necessary? Because the Lord, he says, do this and thou shalt live. That is, there is no man that is able to enter into glory with me except that he be perfectly righteous. I cannot look upon sin. And thus that law of mine needs to be satisfied, that I may dwell with him. Therefore, the Lord Jesus had to actively obey that law. He had to do that in the place of his own children, not just for himself, no. He had to do that on behalf of others. But then there is all that was committed. And that also needs now to be taken away. Thus it is not only the active obedience, but also the passive obedience that is necessary. We have been hearing about that in the weeks that have gone by. How that it was necessary for him to suffer. How that it was necessary for him to die. Thus his father has imputed the sin of his elect, the sin of his church unto him that he may carry it. Not that he may sin, but that he may bear that sin, all the consequences of that sin, even unto death. That is finished now. That is now all finished. Is that not a wonder? And so now what? And so now what? You say, yeah, I hear about that. But now I need more, don't I? It says here that he saves his people from their sins. Well, what now has to happen? Well, then they need also to be quickened. They need to be given a new life. They need children to receive a new heart. That is everything that he has done that needs also to be applied unto me. Thus, the work of Christ is not finished. In an objective way, it is finished. But now it needs the subjective application unto the soul of every one of his elect. How are they now born into this world? John the Baptist, he was already sanctified in his mother's womb. But typically that church is born into this world, laying under the wrath of God, though they are his elect. Are you elect? I say, I do not know that. That is right. Do you ever fear? You say, I look at me. I look at me and I look at my life. I say, I cannot be elect. I cannot be elect. And why do you say that? You say, well, look at me. Yes, but how was now every one of that elect born into this world, same as you, same as me, same as each and every one of us? Oh, then something happens in their life. You say, it has not happened to me yet. Oh, what do you do then? What do you do then? Do you just go about all your labors? And you just go about all your play, boys and girls? And when we do not know, we have heard this in the weeks come by, and whether we are young, whether we are old, whether we be given one more day, whether we be given one more hour, whether we be given one more minute in this life. Oh, when, what do we do then? We say, I am unconverted. I am reprobate. No, you may not say that. You may not say that. We may say, I am unconverted. Oh, then we need to beg the Lord. We need to ask the Lord that he may give to us what we need. And who is now that is doing that? Well, God has given this name, Savior, that is, to his own Son. And now who needs a Savior? Those need a Savior who are lost, who are lost. Do you need a Savior? What's your answer to that question? Do you need a Savior? You say, I know I need a Savior. Because I have been born within the confines of God's people in his house, and I have heard that from my youth. That is good. But do you now experience that you need a Savior? Do you now experience that you have no ability to deliver yourself from what? From your misery? From your guilt? Yes. Is that all? Just the consequences? Do you now experience that you are not able to deliver yourself from your sins? Is that now a burden to you? Have you now a godly sorrow in your heart that you live not in this world the way that God has created you to be in this world? That you are lost. That you are lost in that quagmire of sin. Why is the Son of God called Jesus? That is a Savior, because He saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. And likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. What does Paul say? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. O congregation, if God has sent His Son into the world and given Him this name, Savior, is that now not an affront to Him? Is that not an affront to Him? When we would ever seek any other Savior than whom God the Father has called Jesus? And yet, congregation, what is now more common to the natural fallen man, as Jesus Himself declared, "Ye will not come unto me that ye might have life." That was not just on the days He was here on earth. That continues to be, we see that in our second thought, true faith in this name. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves or anywhere else? They do not. For though they boast of Him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. Thus, before our fathers say what that true faith is, they say what that true faith is not. And they speak about those who boast of Jesus in words, but actually deny Him. So who are they? Is that the world? No, it's not the world, because the world does not boast of Jesus in words. The world says God does not exist, and that whole universe has come about by chance. No, this is not the world they speak about. They are speaking about those who are within the confines of the visible church of God. What have we to do with the world? We have all our own heart. We have all our own soul. Now our fathers warn. They warn about pretension, about speaking about that name of Jesus. They warn about self-deceit. They warn about hypocrisy. They warn about coming short. Coming short in the very end of our life when we have to stand before God. How do we receive the warnings? How do we receive the warnings? Do we say, that is not me? Or does that now turn us inward to self-examination? Because now that true faith, that true church of God, Do you know what is now most important to them? That is that they are right. That they are right. That they don't make a mistake. Because make a mistake here, it is congregation forever and forever. That is a mistake that is has the consequences that are between life and death itself. Do such then believe in Jesus? Thus our fathers distinguish here between a true and a pretended believing in Jesus. Why? Well, believing in Jesus, that is now the mark. Believing in Jesus is the mark of belonging to God's people, to that true church. He saves his people from their sins. And now, who are his people whom he saves from their sins? What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, these little ones, he says, who believe in me. They are my people. Thus, that is a question that is important, isn't it? Do I believe in him? You know our catechism that was written at the time of the Great Reformation. And there were many errors, the Roman Catholic Church. And then we have come out, and we may be so thankful that the Lord has brought us out of all of those errors. But how did those errors get in there in the first place? Well, because the errors are here in our hearts. If the errors were not here in our hearts, then the errors would never have come into the church. And thus, man, who remains the same, always, that catechism that remains always current, doesn't it? Say, we're brought out of that church, but that church is living here. Church is living here. And the dependence of that church on other than this one and only mediator that is also living here, that needs to be rooted out of our heart. And we know, of course, afterwards that there were also more errors. We think of the canons of Dort and the Arminians that have come into the church, and how much boasting in this name. And for though they boast of him in words, our fathers say, yet they do not believe in Jesus. That is an awful thing. The Lord Jesus spoke of them. He said, when we come in the end and we say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name done wonderful works and cast out devils and so on? And then he warned. These, our fathers say, are they who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else. Thus we need to be sent inside. Shall we go inside? Do you even seek your salvation? Maybe we need to start there first. Because it could be that though we have a religion, that we don't even seek our salvation. Is that true, young people? Fathers and mothers? And if you do seek your salvation, where do you seek that from? Saints? No, I think not, right? God's people? God's people? Maybe what they think of you. Or the minister, what he thinks of you. Does that matter? Does that matter? Well, sure it matters. Because what should our life be? Also in the midst of the world. A congregation. That is not the salvation of a man. And the opinion of everyone that is within the church, that everyone would say, that is a godly man. That is a godly woman. Do you now have your salvation? What is now a name to live? If we are dead, is that salvation? You know, we read in the Bible that that is like leaning upon a broken reed. It will go right through your hand. Go right through your hand. What is now that true faith? Let us sing first. 138. 1, 2, and 4. Thus speaks the Lord to wicked men. My statutes, why do ye declare? Why take my covenant in your mouth? Since ye for wisdom do not care. For ye my holy words profane, and cast them from you in disdain. 1, 2, and 4 of 138. such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves or anywhere else, they do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, and so we act if we are boasting of him in words, but have never been severed from every other support and every other foundation, then he is to us but a half Savior. But what is a half Savior? That is no Savior at all. Because then he is only a helper. He is only a bit of a support. He can assist us. He can prop us up so that we can do what is necessary to save ourselves. That is no Savior. And half Savior. And he is no help to the true church of God. No, our fathers say, here's the way you may know if your faith is a true faith. Do you want to know if your faith is a true faith? They say, here is now a test. What is that? They who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation, not some things, but all things. Now ask your soul. Does your soul find all things in him necessary for your salvation? You do not have to answer to me. You may answer to your own soul. And you may answer that question before God himself in this afternoon to test the truth of your own faith. You must find all things in him. So faith finds. True faith finds. True faith, when it is brought into exercise, finds out what? Truth. Because unbelief is not truth. But faith, true faith, that is congregation, truth. And he finds truth. And what does now true faith find in its exercise? Well, shall we go back to the sea for a moment? When the children of Israel, they have to pass through that sea, Paul says it was by faith that they passed through that sea. And then he says, as by dry land. This congregation, that is now what faith, when it was an exercise, found. When it went down, then it found dry land. Do you know what that is? To find that dry land, and it found more, because it found walls on two sides of it. And it found that those walls were there for their protection, so they could feel the security of God. They found that there was a cloud that was behind them, that severed them from all danger from the enemy. There was more than one thing that was necessary for the salvation of the children of Israel, to deliver them. More than one thing necessary if the Lord would provide everything and leave out some, then what? Ah, you say, then they're still going to miss it. Even more, let the Lord provide everything and leave out one thing. If he may provide a pillar of cloud by day to lead the way, and there be no pillar of fire by night to lead the way, ah, you say they will lose their way. Still in the night. You have a car, young people, truck. Beautiful maybe, right? Well, just take off one wheel. Take off one wheel. Leave the rest on. Expensive. $100,000. Take off one wheel. They bring me nowhere. That is right. Because it is necessary. Every little part. You need surgery. You say that that surgeon, he has so much wisdom. He has so much experience and he has so many tools. He says, yeah. But I'm missing something today. It's just a little thing. It's a little string. Little string. I use that to sew it closed afterwards. Going to lay your hand. Going to lay your body under the knife of that physician. You say no. No, sir, then we do not even begin. Because there is one thing that is missing. And now with all the rest, it will not be complete. Congregation, they who by a true faith receive the Savior must find all things in Him necessary to their salvation. And that is now what true faith does find. That is now the mark, our Father saying, of that true faith. So what do you find when you get up in the morning for your life? Ah, you find in the morning that there is sunshine and that there is rain and that there is heat and that there is air. One thing lacking, we all perish. And now if the Lord gives that to us, we depend on it, don't we? We depend on it when we get up every single day from morning till evening. And will not now the Lord provide for His church? Or when He says to them now, cast all your care upon Me. Not now only for the natural things, but when they may cast the case of their own soul upon Him. Oh, will He not provide this? Will they not find in Him all things necessary? Oh, congregation, they do. They certainly do. Then they find out that there is not one thing that is missing for all that their soul needs. Paul, he writes, of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Oh, that is now the experience of true faith, that they may glory in the Lord because of what true faith is finding in its exercise. Thus a guilty man, though he is forgiven everything, he needs still to be cleansed that he may enter into the joy of the Lord, because there shall no sin come in that holy place. Thus, what is justification if there is not also sanctification? Then that church needs a complete redemption. If he is the Alpha, if he is the beginning, what profit is that? If he is not also the ending, shall the true church of God be able to finish something that they never could even begin? They who by a true faith receive this Savior, all they find all things in him necessary for their salvation, even from the first moment that that salvation, that that new and that living way is revealed, that is opened up unto their soul. Do they understand then all the particulars? No, that is not necessary either. In order that they may find all things in him necessary for their salvation. Why? Because if a man stands, do you ever stand there, on the shore of that vast ocean, then he feels, then he experiences in a moment the immensity of that ocean. He cannot see it all. He cannot see what it all contains, but he feels in that very moment its immensity. And so also does faith. Then it needs not to know all of the particulars in order to feel and to experience something that the Lord, he is providing everything. Even in that very moment when that way is open to the children of Israel, oh, then that faith goes forward because it sees and it feels that there is going to be nothing missing. And so they may cast all their case upon him. O congregation, if a sinner is going to draw nigh unto this Savior, what shall he bring along? What shall he bring along? He does not need to bring anything but himself. Nothing. And now this Savior, you know what he's going to find? He is going to find that this Savior, he is providing everything for the salvation of his soul. Because if he brings himself, if you bring yourself, then you also bring along misery, don't you? Misery. You feel that? And now what is he going to find in Jesus? Ah, he is going to find a mercy. A mercy that is suitable just for the case of all of his own misery. If a man may but bring himself, then he is going to bring his guilt. That's all you need is yourself. Just bring that there. And then you have guilt with you, right? And now, that true faith that is going to find something in this Jesus, in this Savior, it is going to find an ocean. Ah, you're going to feel that. True faith feels that just as you would be standing on that shore of that ocean, of that sea, that boundless water. Ah, and then all that iniquity, congregation, it is just swallowed up. Ah, then you see it. How much grace there is for the iniquity that is living in our heart and what comes forth from our hearts from day unto day. Oh, if a man may just bring himself, then he brings here to him poverty. He brings helplessness. And you know what he's going to find there? He is going to find in Jesus one who is able to save to the uttermost. To the uttermost. all that come unto God by him. All things necessary. That is now what faith finds. It finds in him qualifications for this case. For this case. Qualifications in his human nature, that he may obey also for me, that he may suffer also for me. Do you know what he finds in Jesus? He finds in this Savior power, because he is the Emmanuel, because he is God with us. Do you know what he finds in this Jesus Savior? Oh, he finds in him love. Oh, that is a great love. It is a great love beyond all the love that can be from family and friends. Oh, it is a superabounding love, because he gave his life even for the ungodly and even for sinners. Our congregation, these are the things that faith, true faith, finds in him. You know what it finds in him? And when it may draw nigh to him, by a true faith, it finds a relation in him unto his Father, a relation that is so necessary, necessary in order that we also may be brought by him back into the bosom of the Father. And now for that people, if they are not brought back into the bosom of the Father, O congregation, then it is no salvation. Then it is no salvation at all. Oh, that name Jesus, congregation, that is given to him by his Father. By his Father. By his Father who has prepared him a body. And he has prepared him a body for this very purpose. Do you say now, I cannot save myself? Do you say that? That is good. That is true. That is very true. But how do we know that? How do we know that? Do you know that because you have tried? Do you know that by experience? Do you know that with tears that are weeping within your heart, that I cannot deliver myself from all of my sin? Well, the application, you say, that is what I lack. That is right. Where is that to be found? That is to be found, congregation, in that same place. That is also to be found in him whose Father named him Jesus, whose Father named him Savior. Oh, will you not cry then? Will you then not cry unto him, unto this Savior? Has that Savior ever sent anyone away who cried to him? I say the rich young ruler came to him and he said, go away. That's true. But how now did he come? He came. He came with all of his own work. He came with all of his own merit. Oh, congregation, just leave it all behind. Just leave it all behind, because it is worth nothing in his holy sight. Come unto him in your guilt. Come unto him in all your pollution. Come unto him in all of your deadness. Just say to him, just say it to him. Just go on your knees. Just go in your inner closet and say to him, O Lord, thou hast this name. Will you do that, boys and girls? Will you go home today? And will you go in your closet, and will you say there, O Jesus, Jesus, thy name, that is Savior, that is Savior, is so simple. And thy Father has given thee this name, has given thee this name, and I cannot say to myself, I cannot give myself a new heart. My mother and my father, they say, pray for a new heart. And I don't have a new heart. Oh, Savior. Oh, Jesus. Wilt thou not give that new heart unto me, O come? Poor, wretched, miserable people, unto this mighty and unto this willing Savior. Do you drown? Do you drown with Peter in all of your sin? Just cry, Lord, save me. I perish. All that the Father giveth me, he says, they shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And you shall find, or you shall surely find in him all things necessary for your salvation. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, look on us. A child also can be saved. Make us as a little child, Lord. Show us the simplicity. Give us to know. Give us to mourn over our sin and that we cannot deliver ourselves from it. Show us who thou art. O be born thou within this stable and give hearts to cry and to experience that thou art Savior, that thou art Jesus, and that in thee is everything necessary for my salvation also. O give to experience, Lord, that when thou comest, thou bringest everything along. Forgive and take away all of our many, many sins. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Give us to keep thy day holy. Give us a desire and that we may search in thy holy scriptures and that we might read that which is based thereon and that we may receive the blessings that thou pourest upon thy beloved children. And look on us in this week. Be with those who must stand in the day of tomorrow at an open grave. And be with thy servant. Be with all that mourn. Help us each one in the labors of our hands. Keep us, watch over and protect. Remember us in the Sabbaths to come. Thy servants who will take our place here in this pulpit. And also the brother elders to lead. And wilt thou be with us as we serve in Calgary. And watch over each of us together. And wilt thou keep us from ourselves and deliver us from all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 161, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. My honor is secure with God. My Savior, he is known. My refuge and my rock of strength are found in God alone. 4 through 8 of 161. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.